We've all heard it before. It's who you know. Now hear why it's so true. Welcome to Social Capital, a weekly podcast where we dive into social relationships and how the investment you put into them establishes trust, reciprocity, and value within your network and community. Your host, Lori Hybe, will connect with top professionals and dive into their best networking stories and techniques to share with you.
Hey everybody, Lori Hybe here. Welcome to the Social Capital Podcast. Our show notes are found at socialcapitalpodcast.com. You can also follow me on Twitter at LJ Hybe and Facebook at Social Capital with Lori Hybe. All links mentioned will be included in the show notes. This week's guest is Patty Simone. Patty is an acclaimed PR and business strategist and founder of WomenCentric.net, an entrepreneurial and career advancement source. Patty works with entrepreneurs, individuals, and companies to optimize their communications, sales, and marketing via smarter branding and content, integrated print and web marketing, engaging videos, strategic social media, and public relations. Patty is co-author of Jersey Women Mean Business, Big, Bold Business Advice from New Jersey Women Business Owners, Practical Pointers, Solutions, and Strategies for Business Success, and is a credentialed journalist with over 1,000 bylines in print and online media. She has appeared on ABC, MSNBC, and Fox 5 TV, and been quoted in Entrepreneur and More magazines, CBS News Radio, and more. Patty, thanks for joining us today.
Oh, thanks for inviting me. It's a pleasure.
All right. I'm going to jump right in with some questions around social media and digital marketing. Where do you see digital marketing going? Will more small businesses hop on board and leverage mainstream social and networking platforms?
Well, you know, I do. And I think it's going to be more of a trend in 2017. It was really nice to get the opportunity of putting together a social media day last year with the Chamber of Commerce that I'm involved with. And the reason why is, you know, when we're in this world, we sort of see things some one way, but when you're dealing with regular variety of them from all different sides and kinds of businesses, it really gives you more of a litmus as to what the environment is. And I was really surprised how much people don't know still, how many business owners, because of the nature of, you know, being a small business owner, they're juggling so many things that they're really sort of put that on the back burner, and they're really still, you know, trying to figure out, is this something that's going to really help me? Is it worth my while? I still don't understand Twitter. I mean, we were talking about people who've been in business for years and years that still were fumbling with some of the basics. So I was, I thought that was a really good litmus test to see, yeah, there's people out there that still don't have a handle on a lot of the things that we take for granted, those of us who are in the tech sector, and very much within social networking platforms. But the good news was that they were eager to learn. And you know, no question was, we really encouraged every single question that they had. No question was, oh, are you kidding me? It was just, hey, how can we help you understand how to use this so that you can be more productive and get business, you know, faster?
No, that's awesome.
So, I think that they're going to be hopping on board in greater numbers in 2017.
And I'm sure a lot of business owners have this type of question. Is it necessary to be everywhere?
I don't think so. No, it is not. I mean, you know, again, it's important for people to realize that our behaviors as a society have changed for every consumer, pretty much in every single market and sector. We're all really connected with our phones, even more so than our PCs, right, and laptops. So with that kind of mobile and constantly looking to our phones to do research and things like that, it's, even if we're not personally in that world. We have to recognize that consumers of all different ages, including, I don't even want to say because she'll get embarrassed, but my 91-year-old mother is using the internet to do research and using her phone all the time to look up things and to connect with people and to keep on track of what's going on through social channels. So that has to be on every platform. It's better to pick one and be there consistently than to try and spread yourself too thin and really not do justice.
Yeah, I agree with that 100%. And I definitely share that same piece of advice to my client base, you know, that come to me and say, oh, I need to be on Twitter and Instagram and Pinterest and Facebook. I'm like, whoa, step back. Let's pick one and really excel at that. And then, you know, once we've conquered that platform, then consider adding another platform. So I agree with that sentiment a lot. Thanks for sharing that. That being said, what do you think are the most productive tactics for lead generation, lead nurturing, and sales today?
I really believe that it's still and always has been a combo approach. No matter what time of history that you're being a part of, you're using the tools of the day, right? If you really wanted to get in front of people productively. So, you know, in the 30s, it was radio, right? And then when television came about, all the companies that hopped on board that medium that were able to, of course, had the budget and tested it, you know, they became the market leaders. Now it's again, what's really exciting about social media and being online and using those online tools as well as traditional tools is that it gives you sort of an equal playing field because your voice can be heard by literally millions of people if that's what you're looking for. If you have a pizzeria and you're only looking to, you know, grab business from 10 miles, it still is really important, right? And to be savvy about how people are using Yelp and food spotting and, you know, other applications so that if, you know, you have really good reviews online and someone's traveling and they are looking for a great pizza, you want to make sure you show up, right? But still the combo approach, what I mentioned to begin with is social is immediately about initial brand awareness, right? So you're nurturing those brand awareness leads that you might be getting or people that are connecting with you through face-to-face networking, through, you know, traditional stuff, guerrilla marketing, things like even flyers, through sponsoring a local team, you know, your sports team, the kids are playing softball and your name is on your t-shirt. You know, so still there's a lot of value to that. And to face-to-face, meeting people at, we have Taste of the Region here, which I'm sure you guys do too. Mm-hmm. And all different kinds of vendors participate, not just food vendors. And so getting in front of the people that you want to do business with locally is just as important as well as, you know, doing that brand awareness thing and self as an entity of merit within whatever sector that you're in via the online channels. Blogging, you know, things like that. And interviews like this, quite frankly, podcasts, right?
Yeah. I'm loving podcasting.
I mean, it's fun. It's fun and it's valuable. If you know, we're covering all of the kinds of topics that someone's interested in, it's a good idea, good way to get new ideas and to just get sort of validation for some of the things that you've already thought are, you know, what's right. And then you find out through stories like this or, you know, examples that it is right, that you're on path.
Yeah. So you said something really good there that I like a lot and I 100% agree with is that social media is about brand awareness and, you know, social media is basically content. And so the next question I have for you is content really an inbound sales magnet?
Two words answer for that. You bet. It is because, again, you know, track consumer behavior. And it doesn't matter whether it's a consumer who's looking for a retail product or if it's, you know, a C-suiter that's doing research, they're online. They're online. And they're looking using keywords. And they're looking using phrases. So it doesn't matter whether you want to know what's the value of, you know, homes in the general area, or whatever, or how, what's the best time of year to plant, or who can I connect with that can take care of. I mean, people are searching every day, millions and millions. I mean, obviously, if you're going to take a worldwide pulse, it's in the billions of searches that are conducted every day using phrases. So if you are wanting to make sure that you are, people are finding you, you got to sprinkle breadcrumbs, right? And doing that means blogging, keeping your website up to date because Google likes that. Sharing and retweeting and liking the articles that are in Forbes or Money or Wired or whatever your industry publications are, commenting on people's posts in LinkedIn. Every one of those activities is a breadcrumb. Then that breadcrumb is pointing back to you, which is why it becomes an inbound channel. It's a sales magnet because every single time you are out online, and you know, creating a URL or creating that link that comes back to your website and for more information, you know, whatever, people are finding you. They're first becoming aware of you, and then based on how you are interacting and what kind of information you share, which hopefully it's valuable, people are then impressed and say, hey, this person knows what they're talking about, and then fill in the blank, whatever it is, X. Whether it's social media or PR or, you know, human resources, or maybe they're a finance person that, you know, they can help you with, you know, getting more funding, whatever it is, you are impressed by the information that they're choosing to share. And what's great about it is I don't have to wait for the New York Times to call me, although if anyone's listening from the New York Times, I'd love if you call me. But I can get my opinion out there, and a writer from the New York Times can hear me and say, or read what I'm saying and go, wow, maybe I'll you know, mark this person down as a possible source for an upcoming story. And I can tell you so many stories like that where people have, I've done PR for someone in a little local paper where a lot of people go, oh, local papers, what, you know, what's the point? The local papers get read. And guess who's reading them sometimes? The people who might end up hiring you to do. And that's how Women started, Women Central got started. I put a press release in my local weekly paper, and someone who was higher up at Citibank called me and said, hey, can you put together a communications program for, you know, a bunch of different people that are, you know, in the management track? We'd like this, this, and this. And I was like, sure. And I mean, just out of that PR, right? So content is important. The kind of advice that you're sharing is important. And advice and tips is better than advertorial. So don't push what you're doing. Just show that you know what you're doing.
That's fantastic. There's a couple things that you said there. One, I love this analogy as far as like breadcrumbs pointing back to you. You know, every little tidbit that you're putting out there is a breadcrumb. And that's fantastic. I never thought about it that way, but it's so true. You know, I'm thinking of like Hansel and Gretel, even as far as this is the path, you know, to get back, back to you.
Yeah, this is how to find me. And you know, bottom line is you are doing due diligence, you know, just on a basic level of providing better search engine optimization content organically. So you're not paying, it's not PPC, which also has value for sure, but organically you're helping to raise your search engine rankings every time you do one of those activities I mentioned.
And you also commented that just advice and tips is better than just kind of that advertisement overall. And I agree 100% with that. And I think that's definitely worth repeating, which is exactly what I just did. The third thing.
It is though, because people don't understand the difference between editorial and advertorial.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I agree with that. And I think it's not about selling. And there's a statement that I like that I learned not too long ago. It's that it's called social media, not sell me media. You know, let's have a conversation. Right. So the third thing you said is that you've got tons of great stories to share. So I'd love to hear a story about your most successful or favorite networking experience that you've ever had.
Well, that was a tough one. That's a tough one because I have so many stories, but one of my favorite has got to be that it was this time of the year, how many years ago, in 2000, I don't even know, five or six. I am a credentialed journalist, so as well as being a marketer, I always was interested in telling stories and whatever, and, you know, I got started with writing for a community paper, and it quickly grew to other things. But anyway, I made sure I got my credentials, my press credentials, and I was so tired, all the holiday season running, client work, whatever, but I forced myself to go to a dinner where it was amongst my peers. It was a dinner for the Newswomen's Club of New York, which is I was a member. And just by fate, I was seated with people that I didn't know hardly anyone there at all, because I am a freelancer and not, you know, on staff with a major publication. And by fate, I sat with a bunch of Fox 5 reporters who were slated to be honored for a piece that they did on, it was something to do with a family that had been, you know, displaced or something. I can't even remember the content, but it was about a local story in the New York area. And they asked me about who I was and what I did, and I told them about Women Centric. And 2 weeks later, I was on television for the first time. So, I mean, I can't stress enough how face-to-face contact and networking and being able to tell your story personal and passionate manner can lead to unbelievable doors being open to you. And of course, from that, you know, I got on television more, and even though it was at 4:30 in the morning, it was still an opportunity to have my opinion out there, translating basically at the time, it was what was happening in the big business sector and how it could be applied to help small businesses in their, you know, daily operations and marketing activities.
That is so awesome. And my favorite part about this story is that you were, the way you opened with, you know, you just had so many things going on, or it was around the holidays, and you just kind of forced yourself to go to this event, you know, not knowing what the outcome would be. And imagine if you didn't go. I mean, wow. That just,
yeah. I mean, that whole huge avenue of opportunity. And I actually have a background where I'm used to talking in front of people. I used to do some local acting, nothing big. There was a moment in time where I, you know, imagined myself being a singer or whatever, and I tried out and went, oh, this isn't for me. But I'm a nervous performer, right? So here I am, you know, totally unprepared, and I'm sitting in this chair, and this guy is interviewing me, but it's a topic about what's the top three mistakes that women make at work, was the first time I was on. And I'm sitting there going, you know, I'm looking around. I don't know. There's no one pointing and telling me, oh, by the way, the camera's on you. It was like so trial by fire. But again, this is something I was going to say later. You push boundaries, you know, when you're challenging yourself, it's always a good thing.
Yeah.
You know, you discover stuff about yourself and about the world at large that, you know, definitely makes an impact on how things then, you know, how your path changes and evolves.
Yeah, I think that's, I mean, it's so important to push your boundaries. And like you said, you force yourself, you know, even though you probably were like, I've got way too many other things to do, but oh, I just need to go to this thing. And then before you know it, you're on TV. And then I'm sure that snowballed into a ton of amazing opportunities as well.
Yeah, and just a lot of learning too, right? A lot of expansion, mind expansion activities where you see the world in a different way because of the people that you interact with and the knowledge that they share in the places that you encounter them. I mean, it's all of those things wrapped into one.
Fantastic. So you've got quite an extensive network with your women-centric organization, and obviously you've got a lot going on with your media relations and social media. How do you best stay in front of or nurture your network?
Well, you know, I didn't mention that the value of social media is beyond the, you know, brand awareness stuff, is the ultimate goal should always be, with all of these things that you're doing, is to get people on your email list, because email converts more than any other medium, right? It's just thousands of percent, 4,300% better conversion tool. So staying in front of people with social media and blogging is great, but optimally, your goal should be to get them on your email list, because those people really care to hear from you. They opted in, right? So that's the best way of really nurturing people who are already warmed up to you, who already know about you, and who are open to hearing what you have to say. As a tag on to that, I would also say the best way to stay in front and nurture your network is make sure you're keeping pace on what's happening with new technology, right? So there are things that go on, like to join this and join that. And I am very selective now. I cannot possibly conduct business and be testing all these new platforms that people are inviting me to be a part of. But at the same time, as a marketer, because I need to see, are they valid? Is it worth it to hop on board? One of the things that I just learned about myself, because it's one of my clients, digital signage is going to be so much more in tune with data integration, that's even through the signage, you know, hooked up to your phone and geo-targeting. There's so many things that are going to be accessible to small business owners, like restaurateurs, like yoga and Pilates studios, those kind of people, where they have a brick and mortar place where they can have digital signage. And all of this technology is becoming more affordable to them. And, you know, again, the signage can actually be hooked into Salesforce. It can actually be hooked into a scale. I just found this out yesterday, literally, from my client. You can have your digital signage hooked into a scale that you've got your beer tap on, so that the bartender gets an alert when the tap is running low.
Huh.
As an internal efficiency type of thing, as well as an external promotion, sales, you know, and just even just a window in a mall, and they've got three signs or digital signs back to back that they're showing a montage or a video or people having fun, and then the sales sign comes up, you're drawn to that.
Yep.
So, I had to tell that story because that's another thing that I think more small businesses are going to be embracing, that kind of new technology, because it's becoming more affordable to them.
Yeah, that's really interesting. And I have seen some of that kind of slowly showing up. And like you said, it's probably going to become more and more apparent as that price becomes more affordable for that audience.
More people. That's, and believe it or not, that is it's a nurturing your network tool. It's a connect with prospects tool and a nurture tool as well, because it is real time and you can schedule all the kinds of messaging and visuals on there. So, you know, you got to believe that it's something that creates action that, again, is directly tied to profits, right? It's because it's all, we're not doing this if only we were all, you know, billionaires and we could be philanthropists. But, you know, it is all about becoming profitable.
Yep. Absolutely. And sharing good information at the same time, obviously. Building the relationships.
Yes.
But yeah, you need to make sure that your head is above water too.
Yes.
All right. So on to my next question here. What advice would you offer to the business professional who is looking to grow their network?
Use your time wisely and really keep track of how your day is being spent, because we can all be, you know, thinking that we're doing something that's moving the needle forward, but you get lost somehow, you know, you click and then you click and then you click, and all of a sudden you're like, oh my gosh, 45 minutes went by and I didn't do this and this. Portion out your day and your week so that you are doing business development activities. You are doing research, you are gathering intel, you're staying abreast of all of those things. You're being very strategic about how you're spending your time and what you're doing to identify your best target markets, the industries that you want to serve if you want to specialize, the thought leaders that you should be listening to or at least aware of, the contacts with companies that you'd like to connect with, and then using things like LinkedIn to really mine those things, and Twitter, of course. I don't know about Facebook as much, although you certainly can ask opinions of people and get, you know, instant feedback from Facebook as well. So, you know, just really using the tools that are out there, but making sure that you're keeping track of your time.
Yeah, that's great advice, because it's easy to just kind of fall into this rabbit hole of endless information, like you alluded to, you know, before you know it, the whole day went by and you read a lot of really good information online, but what progress was actually made?
Yeah. So, you know, just to have a set of goals, and whether you do it by month or by week, by quarter, to really outline what you're looking for, what you're trying to accomplish, and then that sort of shapes your action plan, you know, on a trickle-down basis. So it's finding that end goal and outlining that end goal, and then, you know, that sort of shapes the actions that you're going to take.
Fantastic. So you kind of started talking about this with regards to LinkedIn, but I'm curious, digital networking or traditional networking, which one do you find more value in?
Oh, these are tough questions because I think that both are valuable. I really think both are equally as valuable. You can't be in business today and not be aware of what's going on and doing, you know, due diligence, as I said, online. But you also can't, there's in traditional networking, strategic digital, you know, strategic networking, I should say, because you don't want to be that you're, you know, joining 20 different things and always, you know, hopping from one networking thing to the other. You'll be exhausted. You'll be completely, you know, tapped out. You know, join the things that and the groups that you know are going to be helpful to you in achieving your goals. And try and go to one or two things where you're out of your office a month to start off with if you're not in that path already. You don't need to be going sure, but you really should go to special events like Taste of the Region if your chamber hosts that. I love one of those. Go to the holiday luncheon because traditionally those are very well attended and you could maybe get some introductions. Ask Lee about, hey, I've been wanting to connect with so-and-so. Do you know anybody who can make that introduction? Or, you know, if you really know someone that you're looking to get an intro to, ask. Because those face-to-face meetings make it easier for when your email reaches that person's inbox, they're like, oh, yeah, I met this person. And then that sets you on the track, the nurture track of, you know, getting more information to them, posing a question about how you might be able to help them, and, you know, business opportunities unfold from there.
Yeah, I think what you really mapped out and you opened up with this is, regardless if it's digital or traditional, you need to be strategic. So going in with a plan as opposed to just in and kind of hoping and praying that something's going to come of it. So fantastic.
And since everybody can record themselves with their phone, I highly, highly suggest this. I mean, I have a background, like I said, I've been in place since I've been my first one. So I'm used to practicing my pitch, synopsis of who I am and what I do and what value I bring to the table out loud. I'm used to doing that. But so many people are not, and I can't underscore this enough. It's so valuable to see and hear how you sound and look to an outsider's perspective. Because once you do, you might go, oh, wow, I didn't realize I was doing this, or I didn't realize I was doing that, or I really need to tighten this. Boy, I'm all over the map. And being honest with yourself about your communication skills and your delivery and your confidence level and how you present yourself, even when you're just meeting someone for the first time, can really help you develop better communication skills.
I love that. And I'm going to do that. Record my pitch on my phone just so I can hear it and then tweak it and continue to do it until I'm...
Exactly. You got to be honest with yourself, because some people are so good at what they do, but they're so awkward when they meet someone. And you can tell they're nervous about it. And, you know, let's face it, you know, not everybody has a, an outbound personality that they're saying, okay, I can do this. A lot of people go to networking things and it's almost like going to the dentist for them. They're dreading every moment. So, you know, we're all there for the same reason. That's one thing that you should keep in your head. We're all here to do business, to get, you know, more productive, to, you know, further our education or our network or whatever. So if you put in that perspective, it hopefully takes a little bit of the pressure off.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think that's fantastic advice that you're offering there. So I'm going to switch the tables here and ask some fun questions. If you could go back to your 20-year-old self, what would you tell yourself to do more of, less of, or differently with regards to your professional career?
I think what the first thing I would be wanting to tell myself is to ask for feedback about and listen to advice with direction. So when I was that age, I really thought in the beginning that, okay, I'm good in English, and so I'm going to be a teacher. I got to the end of college and I went, oh my gosh, I cannot imagine myself being an English teacher. And if someone would have said, hey, with your personality, you know, PR and, you know, marketing or, you know, management, that might be a better track for you than thinking you were going to be an English teacher. That would have been very helpful. Of course, when I was in college, there wasn't as many opportunities for internships either. So, you know, it was more of, you know, you got a job at the local burger place. You weren't thinking, how is this going to help me? Although I don't think that that's a bad thing. I think everyone should have a job at the local burger place because, you know, again, it's a different kind of team sport and service and dealing with customers and stuff. So it's sort of trial by fire there. But I think I would tell myself not to be afraid to voice my opinions and to have more confidence in my abilities, even though I was just starting out. To definitely understand that failure is part of the game. And without failure, you really can't develop a lot of understanding and a lot of insight into who you are and how the world works. And to always be open about listening. Again, doing more listening and less talking, although I'm doing a lot of talking now. Doing more listening, because there's a lot you can learn from listening.
No, I love all of those advice tidbits or, well, advice. I mean, this is basically what you would tell yourself to do differently.
Yeah.
But I think it's valid advice for anyone is, well, listen, you know, ask for the feedback and don't be afraid to ask and have confidence. I mean, I think that's something that a lot of people probably lack in their early 20s, and even as you're progressing into your 30s and whatnot, is just that confidence to say, you know, I am educated and I can do this. But also knowing that, you know, failure is...
Right, and you know what? That's funny you say that, because that's a really good mantra to have. Just tell yourself, I can do this.
Mm-hmm.
Those words, I mean, and I've done that many times where I've been in all different kinds of situations, business, professionally, personally, whatever, where you're challenged and you feel overwhelmed and you really need to be able, I can do this.
Fantastic. All right. So we've all heard of the 6 degrees of separation. Now, who would be the one person you'd love to connect with? And do you think you could do it within the 6th degree?
you know, there's so many people I'd love to connect with on all different fronts. I'd have to say that given what happened in the election, politically, I would want to connect with Ivanka Trump because of her position as one of her father's trusted confidants and advisors, because, you know, they're in and the new leadership has got to make some active real progress on, you know, so many issues, not only that are facing women and women entrepreneurs, but entrepreneurs in general and society in general. So, you know, when thinking from the entrepreneurial thing, you know, there's so much more that can be done and that should be done to give women and entrepreneurs in general more access to capital, right? Because the more capital that we have, the more that we can have businesses started, and the more businesses that are started, the more people can be hired. That helps in every single community. You got a job, you're getting skills, etc. That they have to do something about managing the outrageous interest rates that so many people are paying. You know, entrepreneurs especially, it's sort of like that catch 22, right? You're starting, you need capital, you maybe use your credit cards, you're a little might be late on a couple of payments, all of a sudden you're paying more than you should be. I mean, there should be some real active monitoring and legislation. God, I hate legislation, but if you can't get people to do it on their own, then we need legislation to help with that so that, again, more jobs are created, more people have access to, especially in disadvantaged communities, internships and educational opportunities to interact with people who are in the business community, which can be only lead to more things. So, yeah, I mean, from a political standpoint, man, I'd love to get my opinions in front of Ivanka Trump and hope that some of these things could be really fast-tracked instead of just talking and tabling, which happens a lot, that we could fast-track some of these things.
Well, I'll make sure to tag her on Twitter when we put this episode live and we'll see what happens.
Awesome. And I have to mention this because both of these people have done worlds of good. I happen to be someone who's very interested in historic preservation and telling stories about what happened in the past so that people have an appreciation for different, you know, whether it's a plot of land or an old building that needs to be preserved so it's not, you know, becomes another condo complex. So two people I'd love to talk about are Ken Burns, because both of them have done so much to further the general public's awareness of the value of what happened before and the stories of those people, especially with Hamilton. I mean, Lin-Manuel Miranda is the Mozart, is amazing. And, you know, he's forever a person I'm going to admire because he made history cool, relevant, and accessible to a whole new generation of people. So, you know, yeah. Can those people too?
Absolutely, without a doubt. Okay, so as we kind of wrap up here, any final word or advice to offer our listeners with regards to growing and supporting your network?
Just, you know, don't be afraid to challenge yourself. You know, every time I reach a goal, I set a new one because I feel like one of the first jobs I had when I was 16 is, and maybe people will think this is not a cool job, but I wasn't privileged enough to know very both sides of my family. So I had a job in, it was basically a active lifestyle community. And then they also had a nursing home section. And I was involved with the people that were, didn't need as much medical care. And so I was able to interact with people who are, of course, much older in their 70s and 80s. And some of them gave me some great life advice. And it was always never stop learning. This one guy, Frank, I will never forget him. He's like, never stop learning. Just because I'm retired, that doesn't mean I want to stop challenging myself and learning about new things and keeping current with things. I think I mentioned before, you know, reaching higher and pushing yourself really does come with a lot of fringe benefits. Don't be afraid of failure, for sure, because it's part of the game. We all fail. Every single person I've ever interviewed, top of the line people, Jeff Hazlett, the former CMO of Eastman Kodak, I can mention so many people. Dennis Crowley, who founded Foursquare. Laura Fitton, the first woman who got 25,000 followers on Twitter. You know, people who are interacting with all the brightest minds. Seth Godin, marketing guru. You know, they all had their times where they hit a brick wall. And they just pushed through it. They mustered on. So, you know, don't be afraid to ask for help and for honest input because, you know, a lot of times we think things are one way and the rest of the world is not seeing it that way. So you can't possibly adjust and tweak and, you know, change chart your course a little bit differently without really good input from people who, you know, are just as motivated to do well as you are. So surrounding yourself with really good people that that get you and that get the path that you want to pursue. So last and finally, which I think is the most important thing, is just trying to pursue a life that fulfills you and that uplifts you and makes a difference in your life and other people's lives.
Oh, that's lots of fantastic advice. I'm just going to kind of summarize everything that you said, just because I think all of them are fantastic little tidbits of information. So you shared to challenge yourself and never stop learning. I agree 100% with both of those. And this one was really powerful for me. Everyone fails. I mean, I love that you kind of listed off a bunch of, you know, high profile individuals, but just remembering that, you know, they had their bumpy roads and roller coaster rides, just like, you know, we're all experiencing right now. Asking for help, you know, I think, and I would agree that most people just kind of think that it's this little box and I have to do it all myself. But in reality, you know, that's why you have this network and this community, is because people want to help. And I think that's just kind of human nature, is that we want to support each other. So don't be afraid to ask. And your final tidbit of, you know, just that self-fulfillment and fulfillment for others is, you know, that's really what it comes down to, is that you have to be happy with yourself in order to continue to move forward and be a resource for others. So fantastic closing words there. Thank you. Finally.
You're welcome. The other thing is, I just wanted to add a little one postscript really quick, is that asking for help doesn't mean that you're not strong. It actually indicates that you have, that you do have strength, and that you're willing to go through or whatever. So it never equate that it puts you in a weak position. Asking for help does not mean that you're not smart. It means actually that you are smart. So I just had to put that in. Thank you.
I agree with that. That's really, really good. All right. So if anyone was interested in getting in touch with you, what is the best way that they can reach you?
Well, easiest is my name at gmail.com. So Patty with an IE, Simone at gmail.com, if they want to get in touch by email. Otherwise, they can keep track of what I'm doing. I'd be busy with a lot of other people's programs. So a lot of times I don't get to, you know, do as much as I want my own channel, but you can get the latest through at Patty Simone on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram. If you're into food, I am a foodie on Instagram, and at Women Centric, of course, on Twitter and Facebook.
All right. Well, we will definitely include all of those links in the show notes here. Thanks a lot, Patty, for being on the show. Great conversation today with you.
Thank you. This has been a blast and really nice to catch up with you. And thank you for allowing me so much time to share some of this information.
Oh, you had great stuff to share, so of course.
Thanks.
This wraps up our episode of Social Capital. A huge thank you to Patty Simone for taking the time to connect with us. Join us next week for another great guest as we can continue the conversation on networking and building your community. If you do need me, send an email to Lori@socialcapitalpodcast.com. Otherwise, we'll see you next week.
That's all for this episode of the Social Capital Podcast. Be sure to visit socialcapitalpodcast.com for show notes, more episodes, and to check out our free ebooks on business and networking.